This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 97. Tom, it is a lovely day slash evening to be recording and or listening to this podcast.
Hello.
Appropriate answer.
Yep.
Or response, I should say. We will be talking about Emmy stuff. The Emmys were earlier this week. Not too much, but we'll just be having a bit of a chat. I've watched a couple of Aussie things and I've finally gotten through a whole season of something that was released ages ago but just took me forever to get through.
Sure, bite-sized pieces.
That's right.
Nice. I've caught up on some stuff and boy oh boy, I've seen a few things that tickle the ivories and the sides.
Oh, okay. Exciting. Well, let's crack into the news then. What was probably your favourite news story that you found?
The biggest news story of the week.
Yes.
Bar none. Everyone else can jog on.
Whoa, serious.
American Ninja Warrior. Not one, but two people finished stage three, which hasn't happened since 2015, I want to say.
A long time.
A long time. And then both of them got to take on Mount Midoriyama, the final stage, and one of them did it. Drew Dreschel, he's known as the real-life ninja. All season he has been honed in and he has won everything and hasn't missed a step. They introduced these new safety passes this year. So if you won a certain stage, you get a safety pass. So if you messed up,
almost like an immunity.
That's right. That's right. So if you messed up somewhere, you could cash that in and get to have another go.
I like that idea.
He cashed it in, used it, smashed it. Man, it was a good feeling. Won $1 million. He's got a kid on the way.
Oh, it's all going well. This could be the point where he just, I don't know, ninja warriors over the horizon, but you know he's going to be back.
He'll be back. Look, the only other guy that to do it, which was, as I said, back in 2015, he then took at least one or two seasons off and came back and, like, messed up in stage one at Vegas, so didn't even make it to the very finals.
Damn.
Yep.
Has he come back again or no?
No. It was like he had one shot, didn't work out. I'll leave it there. I want $1 million.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it's not about competing and stuff, and I feel like it's one of those things that if you conquer once, you don't have the same drive to do it again.
Yeah, I can imagine that being the exact case. It's like that is your goal, and particularly with those sort of sporting exercise mindsets, that's really what you're going for. And that's a problem with, like, team sport. You're like, I'm going to get a goal and then I'm fine. Where that's not actually how it goes.
No.
You know, you got to keep getting them within the game. But, I mean, that is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and this guy, it seemed like he hit the pinnacle of everything he'd been striving for.
Yep.
It was very emotional for him. And I'm excited for next year because the guy that came a very, very close second. It's not even coming second, but the guy that got pipped by a tiny little margin.
Damn.
He didn't get $1 million. I think he might get $100,000 or something.
Okay.
I don't know.
But
he will be back with a vengeance next year.
Yeah, he's got that sequel he has to complete.
That was Daniel Gill who came second. The kid, he did really well. It was a bunch of really good, solid lineups. We thought that the Papal Ninja, he would be in the mix, but he dislocated his shoulder doing this, like, the spider jump, the thing where you jump off a trampoline and then you've got to shove your arms and legs out.
I can see how that
and
would
catch yourself in a trench. He like popped his shoulder out.
And he just fell?
No. Like, he was wedged in there and he managed to, like, get himself up to one of the support beams and then they had crew come and, like, carry him
out. That's full on.
And he was sitting on the sidelines looking really sad and they went to commercial and they came back and someone had clearly popped his arm back in because he was smiling and happy. But anyway, for the very final, he was there in a car, like in a sling.
Yeah.
Can't go on.
Damn.
It's
got the highs and lows, all the dramas.
4 years I've been waiting. 4 years. So it was good.
Well, everybody else as well.
Uh-huh.
They must have been so happy.
Yeah, it was huge.
It's a feel-good, positive program.
Very much so. Yeah. So we've very much gotten into the house. I've been watching it for years.
Yeah.
But Shay's gotten into it.
Oh, yeah.
And she, like, recalls the stats and tells me stats all the time. All the time. Hey, good Dad, did you know Swanson? He trains in Chicago with his antenna. All right. Okay, you are an American Ninja Warrior expert.
Maybe that could be a spin-off.
Well, she's starting to get grand ideas of trying to go on American Ninja Warrior Junior. I did have to point out to her, first, she's just turned 7. She's a bit young. Secondly, we live in Australia, which is another hurdle.
There's a few little obstacles there.
Some logistics there.
Yeah,
but if she's keen for it, go for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just not doing it with you.
Yeah.
It's a very good spectator sport.
Totally understandable. Mm.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Halloween is quickly approaching. Have you sorted your costume out? We know you're the type of person who doesn't want to be dressed up like everyone else this year. You want to have the best deep cut outfit, i.e. be superior. We get it. You need us. Reference me Deep Bro Costume Hire. Let us do the monotonous research, like getting the clothing 100% or 99.99999% accurate that the plebs will be really very super impressed and speechless. Want to go to the Halloween party as Spike, aka Dexter Fletcher, in the Press Gang's pilot episode, or Woman with Braid in the Chernobyl Death Bridge scene? What about the poor NPC in Witcher 3 who says, "Help, save me, I'm dying of poverty"? We can sort you out, but don't leave your planning to the last minute. Check out our online store today.
What have you seen?
Well, probably another big story that has been around the past couple of days is the Batman and some of the potential casting. So we know Robert Pattinson.
Yes.
It's looking pretty, it's pretty much confirmed that Jeffrey Wright's going to play the Commissioner.
Yeah,
Commissioner
Gordon.
Yeah. And which I love that idea. I think he's going to be amazing. I like Jeffrey Wright.
I hope he plays him very cynical and detached.
I really hope he has the glasses like in Westworld. I love that Westworld look.
He does a lot of glasses acting. That's his style. He loves to pull it off, clean the lenses, tweak the frame, put it back in.
He was in a couple of the Hunger Games, maybe three
yes.
of them. I'm pretty sure he had glasses in those.
Yeah.
I think.
He gets them a lot. Yeah. It's his thing.
Does he even wear them in real life?
I don't think so.
Such a good actor. And Jonah Hill. It looks like Jonah Hill's going to get a role. They don't know what, though.
Yes, I've seen that going around this morning. A lot of people are quick to jump and go, it's got to be Penguin.
Oh, really?
No, it won't be Penguin.
But he could be a villain.
Yeah, he will be. A lot of people are saying it could be Riddler, which that could make a lot of sense.
I'd like that.
I personally would quite like it if he played. There's a character called Professor Pig, P-Y-G, and he's a serial killer who wears like a cartoony Porky Pig style face mask and a butcher's gown.
Yep.
And he's just constantly covered in blood because he's run around with cleavers and shoots up a lot of drugs and kills people in hallucinogenic fits.
I can see Jonah Hill doing that, particularly.
Especially from Manic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That movie was full of things that weren't quite right either.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not movie, limited series.
Yeah.
Yeah, so watch this space. We'll obviously know more about that a little bit later on.
Sure. So Andy Serkis, he's been out there rallying for digital likeness rights, which is currently a really murky grey area. So if you think about the Star Wars movies.
Like Rogue One, I think.
Yeah, where they brought back Leia, young Leia, and Peter Cushing, who'd been dead for many years.
Long time.
Grand Moff Tarkin. Mm. He feels that in a legal sense, that everyone needs to right now hammer out where the line of appropriateness is and who should be compensated. Because,
okay.
So once they've got all these digital scans of people and things like that, which is already happening for a lot of films now, what's to stop them manipulating and using them differently in the future? It also means that if they work this stuff out properly, then there's no reason why disabled actors couldn't portray able-bodied people. But on the flip side, does it mean that African-American people could portray Abraham Lincoln?
Mm.
And vice versa. So it's a really murky area of potentially knocking out diversity while promoting the idea of diversity.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you've got the cool potential of it, but you've also got the potential of people doing, like, remember white chicks? You know, things that, like, are funny for a month when they come out, and then afterwards everyone looks at it and goes, oh, that's really awkward.
That. But you think about voices in video games and, you know, animated movies and whatnot.
Mm.
People from all different races will be playing people from, or characters from, who look all different. I mean, I'm thinking of, in particular, the latest, well, the most recent God of War game.
Sure.
Obviously, he's supposed to be an ancient Greek god, but he was played by an African American.
Yep.
And I think in, might have been Uncharted 4 or Lost Legacies or both, there was a South African character, and she was played by a Caucasian.
Mm.
And I can't remember if there was any, you know, news or anything about it. It was just that that's who. There might have been with the Uncharted character, maybe. But it wasn't a huge thing. But this is bigger, I feel like.
Look, this is very big. Two really solid examples.
Yeah.
One is Will Smith has this movie coming out in a few weeks, Gemini Man, for Ang Lee, where he plays against himself. And it's not like you think Multiplicity, where Michael Keaton had several versions of himself. Mm. That was on a green screen. That's not the same thing as what
isn't he being de-aged in this?
So this is not just de-aged, but they've created a complete digital version of himself. So there are moments in the film where he is acting against himself that is not there. It is a digital recreation of himself.
Imagine going to work those days.
It'd be insane. But at what point do the likeness, his likeness rights that were signed for this film, at what point do they either revert to him or stay with the company in perpetuity? And what's to stop them if in 10 years when Will Smith retires, if the rights for his likeness have lapsed, what's to stop someone else from buying them up and making films with him in it? Likewise, close personal friend of the show, Stephen Ogg, Trevor from Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got an awful lot of him.
They do.
They can make him say anything they potentially want.
That's true.
They don't need to work with him again. They paid him for those voices and his digital likeness for that work at that time, and they've been good to him and paid him for stuff past there, but surely at some point they
don't need to, but they can still keep working on it.
Yeah.
So we sort of touched on the Star Wars, the Rogue One thing, and the younger Princess Leia. Carrie Fisher was still alive then.
Yes.
How much, if any, of this is going to happen in the last? No, what's this movie called? The Death of the Skywalker, whatever. Rise of Skywalker. I wonder how much of that, and you would assume that would have gone down to the permission of her daughter.
From what I understand, J.J. Abrams is working with footage that was already shot for, I want to say, Last Jedi.
Right.
And there's not, she doesn't need to be de-aged or things like that. And I'm sure they can use a lot of stand-ins, potentially do the Paul Walker and his brother swap.
Yeah, of course, in Fast and Furious 7. Yes. Mm.
So there's all sorts of tricky loopholes and things they can do to get around actually needing to have a full digital recreation of her.
Yeah.
I imagine they need to be very sensitive about that. And I think we would be having a different conversation now if the digital de-aged version of her wasn't in Rogue One and if it was just the recreation of Peter Cushing. I think that would unsettle people a lot more.
Mm. Yeah, agreed. Oh, this is a watch this space. This is almost something that we haven't quite thought about yet.
And that's why he's bringing this forward now, of just saying, like, this is, it's the Wild West in this industry right now, and it is only going to ramp up very, very quickly. Mm. We've got all this facial recognition technology and all this stuff. Who knows if a digital likeness of someone got out, could that not be used for hacking purposes or for, you know,
1984 purposes?
Yeah.
Like taking over the world.
Andy Serkis, what a guy.
Yeah, he's thinking. I can understand how he's the one that's thinking, because he's done a lot of it.
And I imagine he I don't know if there's any companies he's had falling out with, but I imagine he'd be very interesting in preserving his digital likeness because it's not actually his likeness that matters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's
weird
thing.
It's his facial expressions
and
voice.
Yeah, it's his performance.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's more concerned about his performance. I don't know. So much there to unpack.
That's fascinating.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Let's go for something lighter. You got anything?
Yeah, I got a bit of a lighter story. So Will Ferrell and Ryan Reynolds look like they're keen to team up and do a remake of A Christmas Carol.
Oh.
But make it a musical.
Oh.
I know, it gets stranger. So Sean Anders and John Morris, who did like Daddy's Home movies, they're on board to write and direct the musical.
Oh, good.
So you know exactly the kind of tone that's being set here.
I wonder if they'll hire Mel Gibson.
I'd love that to be a thing that would happen.
Well, that's they put him in Daddy's Home too.
Yeah.
I could see it happening.
I wonder though, okay, so this film is in super early stages of development. It's actually just been shopped around but to studios and production companies and whatnot. So it's obviously not going to be out for
this Christmas,
but maybe next. And, I mean, the most famous remake of Christmas Carol is probably Scrooged. I mean, in that it was made differently. So it was Christmas Carol's story with Bill Murray in the 80s, but then they put their own spin on it and made it interesting. The only spin on this that I can see at the moment is that it's a musical.
All right, so let's cast this, right?
So Will Ferrell 100% is going to be in it because I know that he sings. He used to sing in Saturday Night Live with Anna Gassi, is that her name?
Yes. Yes.
So he's going to be in it. I don't think I've heard Ryan Reynolds sing.
I have seen him sing on a Japanese game show promoting Deadpool 2.
And how was that?
I think he did a Celine Dion song or something like that. Wearing
he kept
a unicorn.
Canadian.
Well, he was wearing a unicorn mask.
Oh, gosh. So mask singer kind of thing.
Yeah, I think he might have even been the mask singer over there. I don't know. It was very, very strange.
But that's...
He's got some chops. He's got the pipes. You know who he's going to call in.
Who?
Hugh.
Of course. Hugh Jackman. Because, I mean, there are three ghosts.
That's what I'm getting at. Who are the ghosts? Who's present, past, and future? I could see Hugh Jackman playing an old man very well. I could see him being a good old ghost, actually. I take that back. Let's make Ryan Reynolds put on some stuff. He could be a bit younger.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman can be present.
Yep. Who's going to be future?
Bill Murray.
He would say yes.
For Scrooge. And if he's not going to be a ghost in Ghostbusters 3, then he can be a ghost in Christmas Carol.
This is
musical.
Giving him everything.
And he can just stand there holding a martini and talking, not singing, doing that Bill Murray mumble.
Yes.
Everyone will be on board with it.
And he does like Christmas stuff. Do you remember that weird Netflix Christmas
thing? Yes, I
thing?
Do.
I liked it. Yeah. I don't remember anything about it.
Miley Cyrus was there. She lay on top of a piano. It was odd.
I wonder if they said, Miley Cyrus, will you be in this Christmas like musical thing?
Mm.
We're going to sing. And they started to say any holiday song and she's gone, I'll do it if I'm on a piano. And they're like, okay, well, that's easy. We're going to have it in there anyway.
Yep.
Cool.
Done. Done. I've got some hot news for you.
Go.
Do you know what's hot?
What?
Scrunchies.
Okay. So we were talking a few months ago maybe about something about scrunchies. And I don't remember the topic, but I remember we were like, no one wears scrunchies anymore. They are very much a sign of the time, like that early 90s thing. Well, a few days after the podcast came out, my friend Cass sent me a message. It's like an angry, jokey message. Like, what do you mean? Scrunchies, they're still in. I still wear them. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I completely forgot about that. I was at hockey presentation night the other night and she gives me a scrunchie.
Right.
And she's like, there you go. You need one.
Oh, you've been told.
I've been told. So I would wear the scrunchie, except I don't know where it is now. I think it's somewhere in my car because I remember
Doesn't it go where left socks go?
Yeah, maybe it does. I should have put it around my left wrist. That's what I should have done. Mm. But Cass, I'm in the process of trying to find it because I know I had it when I left Prezzo night.
What else are we wrong about that is still super cool? Let us know. Hit us up.
I'm going to start throwing some things out there that I'm sure are no longer in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say like those, you know, do you remember the thick socks that you had to, they were almost like sporting socks, sports socks, like, but soccer socks, but you had to scrunch them down so they were close to your high tops.
Oh.
I'm thinking like Jamie Lee Curtis in that aerobics
movie. Yeah, I know what you're getting
movie.
At. I know. I will.
Like that's not a thing anymore.
I hope not. Are those leg warmers?
They're almost like leg warmers, but leg warmers would not be. Leg warmers aren't in fashion anymore. What about, what were they called? Keppers? Those Keppers jeans from the mid-90s? I'm thinking like Clueless time.
Yeah.
Where they were just, like that was a skirt pretty much on each leg.
A lot of clippable buttons.
Yes. Click, 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 click. It was just, I never had a pair.
Me neither.
But I appreciated that they existed for that time.
What about overalls?
Oh, yeah.
Are people over the age of five, are they still in?
I remember having a pair of overalls.
I still have a pair of overalls.
Oh, you really?
Yep, I bought some when I was in the States. They are proper farmer overalls.
Are they denim?
Yeah.
Like faded denim?
Yeah. They even got like the old clasps.
Yeah, I like those clasps. They're nice. And then what you can do is you can take one of the clasps off and let it hang, dangle down the back, down your back.
I'm worried about having
your
tit out.
Yeah, that's a valid problem.
I'm just that's not who I am.
You're far more classy than that.
I'll show a hint of side boob, but not just have one out.
I mean, look, this is a perfect segue.
Is it?
So
I'm glad.
Just think side boob for a second.
Okay.
Whilst I say, if you do want to tell us we're wrong about any of those fashion choices, thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Side boob is always in.
Well, it was because I saw quite a few ladies at the Emmys earlier this week wearing very low-cut dresses.
Yes.
One I'm thinking is Emilia Clarke. She was up on stage, you know, with Game of Thrones stuff, and she looked to the side and I went, not only is it very low-cut, but she's also got the side boob action going.
Tahani.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, she would have done it.
She always does, always rocks it well. She was looking on point.
I remember years ago Lindsay Lohan did a fair bit of it, but not to as people a little more critical. But maybe because she's Lindsay Lohan and that was what people were doing at that time.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we know that the Emmys earlier this week and Game of Thrones, that's the last time we'll ever see Game of Thrones there.
Yep. And for spin-offs, unless they're really good.
Anyway, after winning an Emmy for Chernobyl, the writer and executive director of Chernobyl, Craig Mazin, was backstage and he spoke about, he saw what is famously known as the hot mess that was the Game of Thrones pilot before it was worked on. And he said he saw it back in 2009, which makes about sense, about time. And he said they had a massive problem and they fixed it, as in the 2 days. And when he was shown the newer revised edited version with a whole heap of reshoots, he said, it was one of the most amazing moments of my life, just watching something that I thought was impairably damaged and then eventually seeing this new episode. He said it was mind-blowingly good. It was the most remarkable turnaround in Hollywood history. I think that's probably a stretch, but for him, he was very impressed.
Sure.
And look, I have not seen the pilot for many years, but I remember it hooked me.
Do you reckon someone could do that with the finale?
As in the whole entire season?
Yeah, just come back in and re-edit it. Topher Grace, he's real good on a re-edit.
Oh, yes.
Someone should tweet this to Topher Grace.
Right.
I think he'd be really into this idea if he's not already at it.
He's probably busy.
I don't know. He does these editing projects a lot.
Okay.
He disappears and like will pop back up and be like, hey guys, I just edited the eight Star Wars films down into 14 minutes.
Topher Grace, well done.
He's really, really good at this stuff. He did a re-edit on Lord of the Rings as well.
Oh, yeah?
He put it all into one film.
It's
only like a 2.5 hour film, but it's all three films condensed and apparently it's fantastic.
I would watch that.
It only ever gets shown at like film festivals and award circuits and stuff like that because he can't commercially put anything out.
I'd like to see the Hobbit one movie.
Yeah.
Because there's one book.
Yeah, I think he did Hobbit as well. Maybe Hobbit instead of Lord of the Rings. I don't know.
I'll go to that film festival and watch it there. I'd appreciate that.
Making more sense than when Joey and Rachel hooked up.
You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I was just going to say, well, at the Emmys, half the awards went to UK talent. So
It was awesome, wasn't it?
Take that, America. Glow has been renewed for a fourth and final season.
I saw that. Mm-hmm. And whilst this is different, because a lot of Netflix productions now seem to get two seasons and they're out, where the more the older, more established shows like Orange is the New Black, I think, had seven or eight, I want to
like
say.
That.
I think four is pretty solid. I think four means that they really enjoyed it, but there was an actual end, natural end to it.
And that's great. Hopefully that's the case that, well, you know, they know in enough time that they can wrap it up how they like. It's not like they're being cancelled out of nowhere.
Absolutely. And I'm pretty sure Betty Gilpin was nominated for something at the Emmys. I don't think she won, but she was nominated. So she is the, you know, homegrown, hot-blooded USA character.
Nice.
Well, that's her character within the wrestling world.
Sure.
Hmm.
If you are a fan of Hawaii Five-O, Magnum P.I. and MacGyver, you'll be really excited to hear some news that they're going to reboot Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Do you know my main memory of Walker, Texas Ranger was how obsessed Conan O'Brien was with it?
Oh, of course.
Do you remember his
All
lever?
The time he had the lever.
So funny.
It's so good. Do you remember when they got the rights? Like there was an episode where the parent company of, I think it was back at CBS, parent company bought the company that had all the rights. Maybe it was Turner or something like that. It might have even been when there was a big merger with Warner Brothers, but all of a sudden Conan had access to the entire Walker library. Up to that point, he'd only been allowed to use one clip, but then all of a sudden that just, oh.
Was it Conan that Paul Rudd would use the exact same clip for?
From Mac and Me.
It? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was Conan?
Yeah, Conan. They've been doing it for, I think, 16 years now. It's fantastic. I love it. And like, I don't want to be.
He's not even in it.
I don't want to be that guy, but I remember still living at home with my parents, which I haven't for like 16 years. Maybe I saw it at the beginning or something, but I remember watching with my dad and seeing Paul Rudd do that on two different occasions before I moved out. So it's been happening a long time.
Well, you could. There's compilations of it on YouTube, and he looks. Well, they both look very young in the beginning.
Yeah, and apparently. Producers hate that he does that because Marvel and big companies, they don't care because they don't need the extra promotion. But Paul Rudd stars in a lot of tiny indie films that could really do with the clip being shown on a major network television.
But if
nightly
he showed
show,
the actual clip on Conan,
no one care.
Yeah, it's ruined. The joke's ruined.
He has a wonderful part in something I watched this week. We'll get to that.
Okay, fantastic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, just really quickly, a movie
Sorry. About Texas.
Yes.
Walker. They think they know who's going to be playing Walker.
So who?
Jared Padalecki, who, if you've ever seen Supernatural, he's one of the brothers. That show's wrapping up.
Yeah,
it's
of course.
14th or 15th season. Yes. This one is... Oh, I always forget. I'm pretty sure it's Sam.
Okay.
I think Dean is the troublemaker and Sam is the one that always pulls his butt out of the fire.
Well, he sounds perfect to be Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's right. So good on him lining up something for post-Supernatural. That show's been going for so long and it just wouldn't die.
Yep.
And they're wrapping it up on their own terms.
Good.
That's great. I'm happy he's got another gig coming up.
So Walker, Texas Ranger. Oh, can you imagine if they're going to do a crossover? Okay.
Yes.
Meanwhile.
They will.
They will?
Yeah,
okay.
100%. Because they're doing one this year that's a crossover of Hawaii Five-O and MacGyver and Magnum.
Is Magnum? They're all.
Sorry, Magnum and Hawaii Five-O and MacGyver might be in it.
Okay.
What's not known yet with this show is because it'll be a CBS production, but we don't know if it's going to go on CBS, which is where the other shows are.
Yep.
Or to the CW, because this guy obviously has a very, very strong relationship with the CW, haven't been there that long. They may bid and get the rights for the show and do it there instead.
Do you know what I'm waiting for? All these crossovers.
Ooh, Murder, She Wrote?
Yeah, when's Murder, She Wrote going to be remade? Because then she can cross over.
She's still alive?
Yeah, she is.
Now, why aren't they still making Murder, She Wrote?
She was in Australia a couple of years ago performing... play.
Oh, I thought you were going to say solving a mystery.
No, well, maybe
really
she
excited.
Was.
She would have on the quiet. You can't.
What if she was filming Murder, She Wrote?
On the quiet. What if Netflix is about to drop a secret season? Can we have one episode where she solves a murder with Jonathan Ness?
One can only hope.
Ah, the crossover potentials. She'll have a cameo in disenfranchisement. Disenchantment. I can't even say it.
It's too exciting. But I'm now I'm having flashbacks.
13 reasons why I wrote about your murder.
She was there.
Maybe she wrote the letters.
This is too much.
I don't think I've blown open the case.
It's about to get a whole lot more exciting.
It is?
Because if my memory serves me correctly, which it potentially may not have, James Earl Jones was doing the play with her when she came out to Australia, where we have got this theory going that she's made Murder, She Wrote. So he could have played the murderer. Nothing else in this podcast is going to be as good as that.
Yeah, we peaked. Sorry about that,
We're
going
to try. I've only got one more story.
Oh, that's all right. I've got one more too. You go.
All right. This one's just a quick one because we know we're getting excited and a lot of other people are who haven't seen it yet about The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. And you know how we lost about 22 kilos or 50 pounds for those playing in the US? So the rumor was that he lost the weight by eating like an apple a day and that was it. And I thought, apples make me hungry. I eat an apple and 10 minutes later I just want to eat more food.
Hmm.
So I thought that didn't make sense. But apparently it kind of was right. He also ate lettuce and steamed green beans.
Fuck me.
No wonder he looked so miserable and manic in it. He wasn't even acting.
He'd have had the shortest temper. Oh, boy. Excuse the French, everybody. Just that.
It sounds horrible, doesn't it?
You're taking me from the heady hides of Angela Lansbury. Down to a pleasure-deprived Wayne.
So sorry. Please, move us out of this horrible area.
All right. Well, yesterday it was personally a little bit exciting, but it was 15 years since the crash of Oceanic Flight 815.
I saw that.
A lot of people
15 years
about,
ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, 15 years since Lost started. And it kind of changed the game.
Mind.
Yeah. Some of us never really left. Yeah. I can try, but it just doesn't leave. It doesn't go away.
So when was your last rewatch? Can you rewatch, I should ask, because I know you did a lot of work and reviews for it.
I think I rewatched the whole thing in either 15 or 16.
Okay, probably not 15, too long ago.
Not too long ago. I would love to rewatch again, but it's just such a there are different ways that I can rewatch. The main one is to rewatch everything in a block, and there's like 123 or something hours of it, and that is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And you got to commit to it and this sort of stuff. And it's not the sort of show that you can jump around because I know everything, but and I don't mean that in some facetious way. Like I literally wrote about 3,000 words on every single episode. I know all the stuff, but I can't watch it disjointed. The other way I can watch it is to follow a character, and then I still need to watch their episodes sequentially. Otherwise, it's all wrong.
Interesting.
Yeah, because their flashbacks tell a story.
Of course.
But their flashbacks will be affecting what's happening on the island at the same time. So it's really, really intricately knitworked viewing order.
Do you know who you could get to help you? Topher Grace.
Oh, yeah.
If he could edit them all like that for you.
Well, there's some good edits out there for like the final season of like some emotionally swelling music, Penny's boat and all these sort of moments that stick.
Yeah, yeah.
Or sometimes I just jump on YouTube and I'm like, show me the lost final season DVD extra scenes. And then they show what happened with Hurley back on the island after everything.
Oh,
or, you know, some cool little summation wrap-up stuff. Most of the people went on to do cool stuff. One of them's on Fear the Walking Dead. One of them was a vampire. Dominic Monaghan went around looking at big bugs.
He did stuff and
Evangeline Lilly became a bug.
She's
Matthew Fox went away.
Yeah. What about, oh my gosh, what's his name? Blonde guy with hair curtains.
Sawyer?
Yes.
So he was on Colony for 3 years, and before that he had a show called Intelligence where he had a chip put in his brain, his CIA operative.
So clever.
Let him download things. I know Kung Fu stuff.
Great.
It only lasted a season. It wasn't great. I enjoyed it. He had a he committed. He was also very, very briefly in Mission Impossible, I want to say 4 or maybe 3.
I didn't see that. 4. I saw 3. It's so long ago, I wouldn't remember anyway.
I'm quite certain it's four. He's just at a little sliver at the beginning.
I'm wondering if he could do some sort of brother, maybe brothers who are cops and like partners, like detective partners.
Mm.
And he can be with Jamie Lannister because I think those two looks have similar facial features. They could play brothers.
I can see that. I think he's had a lot of cracks at authority roles lately. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes back the other way a little bit.
Come on, Jim Robinson's got all the authority figure roles.
Alan Dale. So there was an interview with him about Lost recently.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not about all sorts of things, but he said that it's funny to him because back in Australia, having played that role, he was the most lovable guy in the world. So here people shout very rude things at him, tell him to jog, you know.
Yeah,
they
right.
get a bit rough with him and stuff. Yeah, but in the States, because he plays authority figures and stuff, people are terrified of the idea of Charles Widmore, who he played on Lost. Yeah. So they give him a lot more respect because they see him as that character or the stern patriarch from The O.C. or these different roles where he's there kicking butt.
That's weird.
So they said it's a very strange thing to come back here and have people yell stuff at him.
Oi.
Yeah.
Get back on Ramsay Street. This is not your street. This is mine. Anything else news-wise?
There was a trailer on Netflix that looked pretty good.
Mm?
Well, it doesn't look pretty good. It looks all right, but I'm going to have fun with it. There is a teen apocalypse series, a zombie apocalypse with Mad Max-style gangs.
I know what you mean. It didn't look great, but it looks like it might be fun.
And it has the school principal played by Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And it looked like there was several references to Ferris Bueller.
A lot of references. And I also suspected just by watching that trailer that he may not be in it for ages.
I don't think so either. I think he's going to play someone who's locked up in the school and we check in with him every now and then. And he's essentially filmed a bottle episode where he's on one set for a day and a half. I think that will be his contribution.
What's it called again?
Daybreak.
Okay. Yeah, it looks fun. I'm going to watch that too because it's got zombies.
It looks trashy. I'll have a laugh.
Anything else?
No, you've had enough.
Right, we have been told. Let's get into some watching stuff.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. Mm.
First off, I finally finished. Actually, I finished a couple of weeks ago, but we've just had too much to talk about.
So much.
Finally finished Orange Is the New Black.
And was it still?
It was still. Oh, That last season.
That's the very end?
That's the very end. It's all gone.
Were they in a snow globe the whole time?
They weren't.
Oh.
But there was some ice, as in the deportation immigrant issue. Oh.
My mind went several different directions. Yeah, I thought it was going to be white as the new black.
No, lots of stories surrounding that because obviously there was quite a few characters throughout the whole entire series where a lot of them were Spanish speakers, so potentially from parts of Latin America and whatnot, and they were mainly used as the storyline, the characters that drew those storylines about deportation and thinking you had been born in America and then realizing once you're part of, in ICE that you weren't and that you're going home and you don't know anybody.
Ooh.
So that was one. That's heavy. That was one character's farewell from the series. And it was very heavy because this character was not often used for heavy storylines.
Sure.
So to have that happen, you're just like, oh, we're not seeing her again. Because it's Orange Is the New Black, a few high, a few lows, some nice little callbacks to characters who we had lost over the time. There was a nice little flashback. I won't say anything about who it was, but a nice little flashback.
Jason
Biggs? Yes, Jason Biggs. Actually, he's in it. He's in the final season, yeah. And it was a nice way to finish. It got pretty serious and low for a chunk of it, but because it is a dramedy, it does have some giggly fun moments as well. It's all done though. I can't believe it. I've got a song stuck in my head now. the animal. The animal. Won't do that again. What have you been watching?
So on Netflix this week was Between Two Ferns, the movie.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
I want to watch this. So what did you think?
I want you to watch it and we will discuss it more in depth next week. I won't give too much away now. However, amazing. It is packed with great cameos.
So how long is it? Is it
it's about an hour
movie.
And 20, hour and a half. And there are moments that it feels like a real movie, and there are moments when it feels like internet skits, and they stitch together. The story around it is very flimsy. That's intentional and made fun of.
Okay.
It's such a throwaway idea, but they put a lot of work into it.
And judging by the trailer, they got a lot of people involved.
Yes, there's some really big names in there. It is very impressive watching. There are outtakes at the end of the film.
Oh, cool.
During the credits.
Nice.
I love a good outtake.
So stick around.
These are some of the best outtakes I can remember seeing in films, just because it shows actually how much work goes into making these silly little internet clips.
Right.
Like something that looks like it's a 4-minute clip of filming and stuff probably took an hour plus to actually film.
So that makes you think, I mean, something like when he interviewed Obama, which is not, that's years ago.
Yes.
But Obama was the president then, so you can imagine how many hoops and hurdles and things that couldn't and could be said.
That's right. I think his was vetted a little bit differently, but like he asked some awful things of Brie Larson.
I remember you talking about it, and when you watch the trailer. Yeah.
There are a few things said in this film that made my eyebrows raise. he interviews David Letterman and how Letterman looks now refers to him as Crystal Meth Santa.
He likes his beard.
He really does.
He does.
And he actually gives the character some good advice on, because the whole conceit of the show is that he's trying to get his own talk show on television.
Right.
So David Letterman gives him some very honest advice. I really enjoyed it.
Would you watch again?
Yeah, I think I would with other people.
Yeah, right.
It's one of those ones that I want to go back because I'm sure I've missed a few jokes from laughing over things.
Yeah.
And also just to spot more of the cameos. So Tim and Eric did a film a while ago called the Tim and Eric's Bajillion Dollar Movie or something like this.
It sounds expensive.
It was not. They made it very, very cheap and still lost money on it. But it is packed with every underground, weirdo, absurdist, surrealist comedian at some
Fantastic.
Point. This is like that, but for the UCB LA scene. So if you like Paul F. Tompkins or Amy Mann or all these people that appear in that comedy and comedy adjacent world.
Yep.
They're all in this.
Interesting.
So it's if you've got a particular comedy sense and if you listen to like a lot of the Earwolf podcasts and this sort of stuff, you are going to recognize someone every 45 seconds popping up in the background or being the waiter or something like that.
And what if you've only ever seen the skits? From internet skits over the years of just the actual Between Two Ferns. Will you still enjoy?
Oh, very much so. Okay. So it's this very weird blurring the line of it's Zach Galifianakis playing Zach Galifianakis, but it's not the actual Zach Galifianakis, all this sort of stuff.
Mm-mm.
Just pretend it's an internet show.
Okay.
And it's a documentary about a guy trying to get a TV show and move past that.
I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this for next week.
I want
to
talk about it next week.
Yeah. I think we'll have a more in-depth. And also that will give you a chance to watch it as well. So
yes.
Tom isn't the only one who's seen it.
And they would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, look, a show that I have really gotten into, it's an ABC, as in Australian ABC.
Yeah.
You know, it's on iView as well. Diary of an Uber Driver. I had seen the ads a while ago. It's really cool. It's a bit funny. It's mainly funny. It's mainly a comedy, but I like the way they do it. So they do focus on this main character who is an Uber driver.
Mm-hmm.
But each episode you learn, you know, more about him and his story and, you know, they continue that storyline. But they also will branch off mainly on one passenger that he's had and you get their side story or you may only see a passenger for 30 seconds. There was one where it was a lady and she was on the phone the whole entire car trip. So he was only sitting in there listening. And she was just saying the most inappropriate things to her, you know, obviously her girlfriend. She's talking about her husband, right? Mm-hmm. And he's just like, the facial expressions he pulls are the ones that you also pull whilst watching. But so it's really cool. And I really like the just the premise of it, the fact that you can follow these characters for, you know, they're only going to be there either this one episode or for the next 5 minutes.
Sure.
That
sounds good fun.
It's good fun. And, you know, usually those ABC comedies are usually in Melbourne.
Yeah.
This one's in Sydney.
Oh.
Surprise me. I reckon it's probably, well, I'm hoping it does have the feet to have another season.
Okay.
Like to continue, I hope.
Couldn't be that expensive to produce.
Wouldn't think so.
Just
hire a car.
Yeah.
Drive it around.
Well, surely they put it on a flatbed truck.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do for acting.
And that's how the actors act.
Yeah.
Sometimes
driving. There was a show, I think we talked about it like 2 years ago or something, like a taxi.
Mm.
Not Taxi Confessions, but like Taxi Comedians or something like that. Heath was on it. He drove people around, drove a taxi around for a day, just talking shit with people.
I can remember that.
I watched it. I can't remember what it's called or anything. It was good. It was fine. It was all right. I had a good laugh.
I was stuck in traffic today.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting opposite me, going in the opposite direction, was a hire car. You know how they have the HC and the mm-hmm. license plate? And it was the driver and a lady who wasn't really into having a chat.
Mm. How long have you been driving?
Body language. That's right.
Do they make you wear that hat?
Yeah, do they wake? Do you have to? In Diaries of an Uber Driver, they also have the rivalry with taxi drivers.
Sure.
Pop up every now and then. It's good. Watch it. Dare you to.
Sure, I've been dared.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I caught a movie that I've been waiting a long time to see called Bodied. Now, this was part of YouTube Premium or Red or whatever their package was, but it was behind a paywall for a long time, so I didn't have access to it.
So how did you watch it?
They put it up on iTunes finally. It's released properly now. This movie's called Bodied, and it's from about 2 years ago, and it's set in, like, Oakland and all around LA.
Okay.
But it's about underground battle rapping.
Oh, when you said bodied, I was just thinking like a horror movie.
No, so bodied is when you verbally assault someone so hard they die. They've been bodied.
I like that.
You put them in a body bag, they're buried, bodied.
It's done.
So I've been into battle rapping for a long time, and I don't mean as in I do it, but like I've followed a lot of rhyme sayers and this sort of stuff back in the day. Mm. There was a lot of guys coming out of the Midwest that were white, and it was more acceptable for me to get into and listen to. But like,
you're talking like 8 Mile kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of that sort of stuff. But like these guys would do giant scribble jams, which was scratching and rapping battles and this sort of stuff. And it was just, you get up there. People that are still around today, Mac Lethal, Atmosphere, like Slug from Atmosphere did it for a long time. That was the Midwest scene. That was the one I knew really well. So I can't speak to knowing the scene that they cover in this film.
Yep.
But there are names in the film that I'm aware of and heard about. These guys show up, they have events in warehouses, and it's literally you get in a ring and you do poetry at one another. So this film is set in that world, and it's all about that gritty realism of people from the hoods coming out defending themselves with words.
So I mean, I did mention 8 Mile before. Is it anything like that?
Well, it's produced by Eminem, and our main character in this film is a rich, privileged white guy who is the son of a very famous university lecturer, philosophy lecturer. And this kid is writing his thesis on appropriating the usage of the N-word in battle rapping.
That's very niche.
So while the film starts with one of these hardcore rap battles happening, and it pulls back slowly, and you realize that he's in the crowd with his girlfriend, who is a very strong feminist rights activist, this sort of stuff, and he's trying to explain what's going on using very critical, analytical university speak, while these guys are calling each other names and going at each other really hard, ripping shreds off. And that's kind of the weird dichotomy that exists throughout this whole film, is this guy is not a good guy, and he's constantly trying to justify that he's not racist, but he wants to use the N-word. And it's a really, really smart film.
Oh, because I was going to ask, does that dichotomy work?
Yeah. Does he lose himself and everything by the end? Yeah.
Hmm.
Like it's – so his girlfriend gets angry at him.
Mm-hmm.
She says, you're co-opting that culture. You're trying to buy into that culture and you can't.
Mm.
And the more time he spends there, the more he realizes that a lot of the guys that he's up against, one African-American guy that he's up against, he finds out on the slide that this guy's a video game developer by day, whose kid is real sick and has like real problems. And this, he's not from the hood at all. Mm. He lives a nice suburban lifestyle. He's play acting just as much. And it's about the idea that white people feel like they can't get involved in rap, or they shouldn't, because that's not of our culture.
Mm.
But at the same time, this film is peeling back the idea that that idea of that culture doesn't really exist too much. It was packaged together and sold to white people to make it a scarier image. So it's pulling down both sides of this idea.
Yeah.
And at the whole time, you can feel Eminem flipping the bird off at everyone. Like, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. You know, this is not a safe space.
Yeah.
I can see why this film had to be put out by YouTube, because no studio would touch it. It's got some of the roughest, most awful things I've ever heard said.
Within the rap battles or just, okay.
And some of the stuff said outside, like at one point when he's just getting into it, his girlfriend says, do me, say something about me. And it's out of context. And that's when he learns you cannot say that stuff out of context, because it will get you kicked out of buildings and potentially arrested. But yeah, he just, it's not an easy watch. It's
but a great, fascinating one.
Fascinating watch. Great, really, really funny.
Yep.
But pushes some serious boundaries.
Okay.
Like this kid will have moments when he's rapping where two holograms come up next to his head with like save file images, and one of them will say personal or way too personal, and he'll like put his hand up and click on that.
I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's like his brain is accessing that.
Yep.
And he like very rightly talks about the fact this is just competitive poetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that these are not hard men at all. These are absolutely no different to people LARPing, dressing up as medieval warriors and going to, you know, it's play acting on a grand scale. Brilliant film.
What an interesting take. Bodied. Okay.
Cannot recommend this thing enough unless you are very sensitive, and it is well worth a look.
Okay.
It is stepping outside your usual cultural boundaries.
Yeah.
I think everyone watching it, if you give it a bit of a chance,
you'll get something out of it.
You'll reassess how you look at some stuff.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Bodied.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin happened this week.
Oh, how was it?
It was all right.
Oh, I thought it was going to be funny.
There were some really funny moments. It wasn't as strong as some of the others we've had in the past, just because Alec Baldwin, cranky, yelled at his daughter.
Mm.
The scandal stuff isn't quite as hot as some of the other stuff. However, Caitlyn Jenner was one of the roasters, and I have to both applaud everyone else and her, because they tore shreds off her and she sat there and took it like a champ and then stood up and said some really inspiring stuff and was like, look, I came here tonight for one reason, and that was to get shreds torn off me so that any trans person watching can see that we can get up here and handle this.
Yeah,
you know, if we can laugh at ourselves, we can laugh at other people laughing at us. It was very brave. John Cryer was the host.
Oh, right.
He did
bald. He shaved his head now, right?
Yes. He did one joke that absolutely killed the note and for me, and was completely off the cuff. There was a moment where Alec Baldwin and Tony Bennett are good friends, because of course.
Of course, yeah.
And then they talked about the fact that Alec Baldwin was donating like $1 million for the night to a charity. And then they showed a pre-prepared video from Lady Gaga talking about the charity with Tony Bennett and stuff. And her stuff was really dry and was like a massive someone stepping on the brakes for the night. And then it cuts back to John Cryer, and he just deadpan stares at the camera and goes, well, she's not known as Lady Ha Ha. Destroyed me. Destroyed. It was off the cuff and, yeah.
Anyway, John Cryer.
Worth a look. Your mileage may vary. If you love Alec Baldwin, you will love this thing. If you enjoy Robert De Niro, not Robert Downey Jr., they should do a roast about him.
They should.
He's got some dirt.
Yeah.
But it was weirdly the Comedy Central roast of Alec Baldwin starring Robert De Niro.
Yeah, fair enough. That's interesting.
Very weird mix.
Yeah,
interesting mix. Anyway, we'll close the book on that.
The only show brave enough to call Scar what he is. A murderer. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Did you watch Fear?
I did watch Fear.
I watched Fear too. I thought more people were going to die.
Yeah.
Still expecting it.
Was not surprised that the character that we were introduced to last week suddenly had a big role in this one, that he was going to be the person that we lose.
Hapless, bumbling redneck. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Just happy to see his sister.
I liked his name.
What was his name?
Tom.
That's how much I didn't even know about
him. Defining characteristic. Frazzled.
Yes.
Keen with a camera.
Super keen. Yeah. I'm just going to stay here and have a laugh.
Nah, it's cool, guys. I'm laying face down on a bridge that's collapsing, but I'm going to smile into the camera and be like, I did it, guys. I got the footage. Who went back and got that camera?
You know it was Ali, but also why. But there were a couple of whys for me.
Mm.
I think Morgan was the one when the truck was sitting half on the bridge. He said, don't back it up. It will break the bridge. I was like, just back it up.
Just drive over.
Yeah, just do one of the two things. Either back it up or drive it over. Don't leave it there because it is going to fall. So I knew he was saying goodbye to the fuel tanker. And then the other thing was, oh, no, the place we've gone to is just full of walkers. Let's call our mate.
We've never dealt with anything like this before.
I was just like, bring the zombies up to the fence
and stab
them. Like you literally did that to 50 of them. Just, I mean, we saw it at the prism. We know it can work. No, we better get on the walkie-talkie.
So this show we already know is confirmed for next season. It's renewed.
I really enjoyed most of this season until it hasn't ramped to anything. This was the ramp, and I'm just like, there were so many ways out of this.
I really enjoyed last season with the new characters coming in and this sort of stuff, and then there were bits and pieces earlier in the season, this one, that I have enjoyed.
Like the radioactiveness.
Yeah.
And the helicopter.
But I don't know. I enjoyed the typhoon or whatever, hurricane, whatever it was last
year. Yeah, that was cool.
I don't know. I just feel like, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I like the episodes where they're more split up and there's only a couple of them. I read a really interesting suggestion from someone who has had enough of the show but knows that it's confirmed for next season, that they should kill 95% of the cast
in one go.
Yes. And leave it and this is brilliant. So this group that's come in now, whether it's them or someone else, Strand betrays everyone and goes with them and basically becomes one of their higher-ups. And the only people left alive are Daniel and Alicia. And when we get the show back to where season 3 was at the very end, of where Strand had turned evil and Daniel was going to hunt him down, and that show looked awesome. And this show now becomes about Daniel and Alicia realizing that their two-season dalliance with being good people
didn't work.
Fucking joke.
Yeah.
And then Alicia becomes Alpha. Or just Alicia becomes, you know, the villainous, the bad person that Madison was on her way to go.
For a long time, Alicia has had the ability to become super.
And Daniel's evil. Easy. Just kill his cat. I mean, sure, kill Charlie. That'll upset him. But kill the cat and he's
gone.
He's back.
I'm gone too.
How can he not be killing people with records?
Now we've seen it work before.
This was something that was quite interesting and we missed last week. But remember, I think, it was last week where he had a carton of records that he'd gotten from a record store. When they dropped on the ground, most of them were recognizable. But there's one of them that has a country singer.
Right.
With a wide-brim hat pulled low.
Right.
So you can't see their eyes and a very big bushy beard. And the person looks an awful lot like Ryan Hurst, who used to be on Sons of Anarchy and is now
Beta.
In the comics, Beta never, ever, 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 ever takes his skin mask off. Someone tries at one point and he brutally beats them to death. And we learn through the comic that at one point when he's just about to die, someone rips the face off. And I can't remember which one, but he's meant to be like a Kobe Bryant-style level basketball player. He's one of the most recognizable faces in the world. So the idea here is that maybe they've switched things up and Beta is actually going to be
a country singer
like Keith Urban,
huh,
who's gone fucking rogue.
To say the least.
And stripped himself of all his own self-identity, and so he wears this wears the face so no one could recognize him, not just to blend in.
That.
Yeah. Someone reckons they've seeded this idea over on Fear the Walking Dead with the records. That's cool.
I need to go back and look at that scene again.
Mm.
That's very interesting. That's very cool. All right, let's get into our quiz time.
Yes, please.
Now, I know that this one's going to be near impossible for you to get.
Oh,
so I'm going to have to help you. But I was inspired earlier this week with the Emmys, and I thought, let's have a look at who's won, you know, the big Emmy, like the outstanding drama.
Okay.
Series.
All right.
So this is from Wikipedia. We're just getting a little bit of a background. So it was first called the Best Dramatic Show from 1951 to 54. Then it was changed to Best Dramatic Series Award from 55 to 56. In 57, there was no specific award for drama given. But then it was then broken up into two parts in 58, Best Dramatic Anthology Series and Best Dramatic Series with Continuing Characters. Like, that's so specific. And then it was around the 60s it decided it would have a name, you know, outstanding dramatic series or dramatic series.
And wow.
It's a lot. I just need wow. to give you all of that.
You did. You
so
did.
So it looked like I was clever.
Oh, you congrats.
So I'm going to give you a year and then you got to try and figure out who won.
Okay.
But obviously clues will have to happen.
Sure.
Well, to a certain extent. There's a couple I think you'll get. 1967. Now, I'm going to give you some clues for this one. Think Tom Cruise. Think
Mission Impossible.
Exactly.
Okay. Best dramatic series.
Yeah, it won twice.
Huh.
So it was a big show, apparently.
Mm.
What about 2005? So this would be
Sopranos?
It's close to Sopranos. It is definitely in that
the
era.
The Wire.
No, not The Wire. Probably the best clue I could give you is 15 years. 15-year anniversary.
Desperate Housewives. It's their 15th as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Is it Lost?
Yeah, it's Lost. I don't even – maybe Desperate Housewives was nominated, but it never won that award. 1990. Interesting little
Northern
side note
Exposure.
For
the – Northern
Exposure. That I'm, won
– Am I close?
It won either
yeah,
the year before
I think
or
was
after
91.
It. That's amazing. Quantum Leap was nominated yeah. in 1990. Did not win. This one was a
– ER?
No, it was a court drama. It was set in L.A.
L.A. Law.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one won four times.
I'm sorry. I'm impressing myself that I'm getting close with, like, Northern Exposure and these sorts of pulls. This is my wheelhouse, this game. I liked this quiz.
Okay, everyone, great. Okay, great.
I'm really excited right now. I'm enjoying this.
I thought you'd find it overwhelming, so I'm really happy about this.
No.
Now, this is where – this year you've got to start thinking about what was not around.
Okay.
Because 2017, a program won.
So Breaking Bad had finished and was out of the way. Mad Men had finished and was out of the way.
So it's only a couple of years ago.
Was it Handmaids?
It was Handmaids. It was Handmaids. Absolutely.
I am enjoying this. I am flicking through TV Guide in my head. And I'm like,
you are going so well. All right, what about this one? The year
mm-hmm.
2000. This one is 2000.
Mm.
This was a very big show. The awards enjoyed this show a lot.
And this is still dramatic, yes?
This is still dramatic.
And this is the
year 2000.
Year 2000. So it was the year before L.A. Law.
No, this was 10 years after L.A. Law. I
oh,
think
sorry,
I got the, yeah,
okay.
1990 was L.A. Law.
So this is 2000.
This is 2000.
Right, not 90.
This one, if I can help you, it actually won four times, this show.
Oh, not The Practice. What did, not Boston Legal? No.
No.
What's that spin-off from? No, that's not that. It's not Ally McBeal.
It's not Ally McBeal. This show, think
Sex
Charlie
and the City?
Sheen. Charlie Sheen.
Fucking Two and a Half Men.
No, but not him, his father.
Ah, the West Wing. West Wing, of course. 2000, yeah.
Sex and the City was probably more in the comedy.
That would have been comedy. Comedy.
Last one. All right. You have said this one in your guessing before.
Okay.
1996. So mid-90s.
Sopranos. No, not Wire. No.
It was when you were saying those. Okay, I'll give you one clue because you're going to get it. Chicago.
So it is the Boston, no, the practice, no.
Hospital.
Oh, ER. I never watched an episode of that, you know. Never seen it. I know George Clooney had some curly hair and I think Anthony Edwards was on it.
Yep. From Revenge of the Nerds.
And Goose.
Yeah. And what's his name? He was in Coming to America. He had the curly hair. He was Eddie Murphy's love interest's boyfriend.
Mm.
Oh, thank you for screaming it at your iPod or iPod?
iPod. iPod.
Wow. Yeah. Surely there has to be a couple of people who are still listening on their iPods.
Put down your Tamagotchi.
And stop listening to Bachelor Girl.
Do you think
that
you could scrunch a scrunchie in such a way that you could hold an iPod in your hair?
Yes, I reckon I could.
That would be a fashion statement if you wore AirPods with an iPod tangled up into your hair.
All right, I know who we can give this challenge to. Cass, that's your challenge.
Make it happen.
Yes, please. So obviously Game of Thrones won.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they've won four times or maybe five by now. But, yeah, not a lot of shows have won four times.
No.
Not consecutively either, which is why Handmaid's won, I think, because I think that was the year that Game of Thrones had off.
Yeah, Modern Family won a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm glad you chose the dramatic category because they are good picks. Because the Emmy comedy stuff is every year is what?
Yeah.
But
Fleabag.
Yeah, but over The Good Place.
And over Veep's final season as well. That was controversial. So, I mean,
normally you give a pat on the back to someone on their way out.
Like they did for Game of
Thrones. Where's Bob Odenkirk's love? Okay, he crushed it on Breaking Bad for years. Now he crushes on Better Call Saul and he still ain't got it.
It's an outrage and I'm outraged on his behalf, as you are.
Mm.
Tom, thank you very much.
Schnuck flex snay.
So you being backwards? I don't know,
but I can say my name backward.
Go on.
Somat Mehogar.